We're going to be ranking 25 leg machines today from A through F. And if you are not watching this on YouTube, I'm going to try and talk out what the machine is. But if you aren't familiar with what the name of a machine is, you might want to hop over to YouTube because there are pictures for every single machine that I'm going to be ranking today. And I'll be clicking and dragging them through the ranking system. And so it might be, you know, more fun to watch this with a visual, but I will be talking it out for those of you listening on Spotify and iTunes. And so if you've seen these sort of tier lists on YouTube, you'll know what I'm talking about. And of course, you can hop over to YouTube. If you're listening to this on an audio platform, I will link to the YouTube in the show notes. So you can hop over. I do think it's more fun seeing it just with the visual of clicking and dragging kind of where these things rank. And so our ranking order is A, B, C, D, and F. And I'll go through a little context. The A tier means it is the best of the best. Means if you have all the options, you probably use this one. It is a machine that is something that is really hard to get rid of in your program if you have it in the gym. It's just that good. It's that good, you know, for growing muscle. It's that good compared to its alternatives. It has a unique benefit. It's something that, you know, again, if you have it, you're going to use it very, very frequently, and it probably ranks above the alternatives. The B tier is going to be exercises or machines that are really great. I mean, the B tier is going to be, I'm looking at these machines now and they're going to be great, but they're going to have some downside. And maybe their downside is just that they're a little less good than an alternative that is in the A tier. So you might have an A tier exercise and then a B tier exercise that is very similar, but a little bit has like some sort of a downside that makes it a little worse than the A tier. And so B tier, probably still fantastic exercises or machines in this case. C, probably more of that middle ground. Maybe there's a downside. It's less good for hypertrophy, or, you know, it is, again, compared to the alternatives, it's less good for one reason or another. D tier is probably going to be movements that, yeah, not the best, but, you know, not categorically like would not use, but probably things that, you know, of course, if you're getting a D in something, you're not scoring too high. And then F tier, I was thinking, does F tier mean I would never use it? Probably not. I don't think any, I'm looking at 25 pictures of machines here. There's nothing here I would never, ever use. Like saying you would never, ever use something means that it's like bad for you. Like something bad is going to happen. And in the, you know, over the course of, you know, 5, 10, 15 years of lifting, like you don't always need to be doing everything that is the most optimal 24/7. So some of these things that maybe aren't the most optimal that have distinct downsides, you might still use at one point or another just for fun, for variation. So the things that will find themselves in the F tier obviously have a real distinct downside. You might not use ever, you might not use often, or you certainly won't use often. And if you had alternatives, you would definitely not use it often, especially if your goal was, you know, building muscle and having really the most productive workouts that you can. So these are all in a randomized order. These are not in an order. I will tell you, before I hit record, I did a very quick fire. I did a rapid fire kind of clicking these into the tier just to get, you know, a feel for how this all worked. I did like kind of a mock, but I did it very quickly. And so I'm going to talk through, you guys are getting a live look. I don't have any practice with doing this. And you're going to hear just some live thoughts about how I feel about each of these machines. And as I'm saying that, you know, most of what we're going to talk about today is how good is this machine for helping you build muscle. But there's a lot that goes into that because, you know, certain things are really great for building muscle, challenging muscles at longer lengths, you know, an exercise that has a lot of stability, but you might have exercises that don't work the muscle in a lengthened position that still rank really high because they have other features. Maybe they isolate a target muscle more effectively, or they do something unique that other exercises don't do. So even if they're not the single greatest, let's say, glute builder ever, they fill a spot in your program in a way that its alternatives don't. So I'm thinking of like a glute bridge machine might rank really high, even though the glute bridge challenges the glutes in the short position. Insofar as you would want something in your program that challenges the glutes in the short position, this might be the best option. So it might rank really high. And so again, these are all in a random order, and I'm going to try to articulate all of this for those who are not watching this. But I do think it will be more fun if you do. So if you want to hop over to YouTube, I'll link it in the show notes. So the first machine is a 45-degree leg press. This is like your stock standard leg press. This is like when people think of leg press, this is what they think of. They think of plate-loaded, a 45 degree angle. You put your feet up on the platform, you know, bring your legs down. This is like a stock standard leg press. And I'll tell you right now, this is an A-tier exercise or A-tier machine. Why is it an A-tier machine? It's an A-tier machine because it challenges the muscles in the length of position. It's a highly stable movement. It has basically no technique demands. It's incredibly easy to execute. And it offers you a little bit of versatility insofar as where you put your feet. So you could put your feet high and close together and you could get a really great glute stimulus. You could put your feet really low on the platform, you know, heels off the edge, for example, and you could keep your feet close together and you could get a really baller quad stimulus. You could put your feet a little bit wider with the toes or your feet externally rotated and you could get a really great adductor stimulus. And you can combine the height of your feet on the platform and the width of your feet to kind of get a nice combination of stimuli across your glutes, your quads, and your adductors. Leg press is just a top tier movement. If you're looking to grow your quads, your glutes, your adductors, it doesn't get much better than the leg press. And when I say the leg press, I mean the 45 degree leg press, because we have maybe three or four other leg presses in this list here as I'm seeing it. And I'm going to do these in order as they pop up. They've been randomized here. So next is the linear hack squat machine or the seated hack squat machine, and specifically the hammer strength one. And again, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the picture and you'll know immediately what this machine is. It is a seated hack squat. It does not have shoulder pads. It has kind of a seat with a backrest. The platform is elevated off the floor. And listen, as we'll talk about in a bit, a hack squat is a great machine, but this machine critically has one huge downside and it lacks a ton of range of motion. Actually, it's two downsides. It lacks range of motion. So if you're not over 6 feet tall, you're not going to get full range of motion here, which makes no sense because I think on average, women are really into building legs. And so if you're making a machine, you should be making sure it fits people, you know, 5 feet tall. Like, so I never understood hammer strength for making this machine. It critically lacks range of motion. There are things you can do to increase the range of motion, like little like Jimmy rigging it up with this sort of a pad and putting this on the foot plate. But, you know, out of the box, this thing lacks a ton of range of motion. And it's actually just the inversion of a leg press. So instead of the platform moving, it's you that's moving. And because it puts you into hip flexion, it's literally just a leg press, but much worse. Every gym that has this machine also will have a leg press. And unless you're 6 feet or higher, I think this machine is terrible. Or just notably worse than, if it fits you, it can be great. But it just doesn't seem to fit you people well. And even if it does fit you well, the truth is, because of the lack of anchoring on top of your shoulders, it's still worse than a leg press. So I'm going to start by putting it in the D category. And again, I might, as we start to formulate this list, I might start to, maybe when it's over, I might get look at it and see if I want to rearrange some stuff once we get a clear picture. Once kind of what is a B tier, what is a C tier, what is a D tier, once those things start to form themselves because I've populated the list a little bit more, we might do a little bit of reshuffling. Next is the 45 degree hip extension. 45 degree hip extension is a tricky one as well, because if you have a really good 45 degree hip extension that is elevated from the floor, such that you can load this with dumbbells or a barbell with straight arms and still get enough range of motion, and the pad goes low enough that people who are short can use this. This is another one, ironically, that most leg hip extensions, when you walk into the gym, they lack two key features. The pad doesn't go low enough for people that are short, meaning you end up rounding your back. And it's not elevated enough from the floor such that you can load this really heavy with straight arms. You end up having to hold a dumbbell on your chest or a plate on your chest or no weight at all, because you can't straighten out your arms, because if you did, your hands would touch the floor before you hit full range of motion. So this, a really bad version of this would go in the D category. It's just like, would it go in the D? It'd be like C, D border. I'm going to rank this as if you have a really good hip extension. And I'll say if you have a bad hip extension where you can't load this with straight arms, or the pad doesn't go low enough for you, it's in the C or the D category. A pessimistic D or an optimistic C. I'm going to start by putting it in the B category if you have a good one. Because I'll say that, so what does this do? It challenges the hamstrings in a little bit more of a lengthened position, and it challenges the glutes in a little bit more of a short position. And it's way easier, in my opinion, to set this up than setting up a barbell glute bridge. And so when we look at the bucket of stuff that challenges the glute in the short position, I prefer a hip extension if you have a good one. It's easier to set up. You just take a heavy pair of dumbbells over there. You use straight arms. It's not a super complicated technique if you have a good one of these machines. It's the more you load it, it doesn't get more annoying. So with like a barbell, the stronger you get, the more plates you have to add on, the more plates you have to get off. It becomes more and more annoying, whereas the hip extension kind of doesn't. I also think that it's unique insofar as it's a straight leg hinge. You could use a soft knee bend, but when you look at other things that are hinge movements, you tend to have a little bit more of a knee bend. You could do a stiff leg RDL, totally, you could. But stiff leg RDL is a really more challenging technique. This is a really stable stiff leg hinge, and I think that it's quite unique. And if you have a good one, it's a staple in your lower body training. It really is. Next is the abduction-adduction machine. So like the pushing your knees out and pulling your legs in. We're just going to talk about this as a single machine. Yeah, because it is a single machine quite often with two functions. So as far as its ability to be like a really robust stimulus, and like if you're like, hey, I really want to grow my glutes in a short period of time, you're not doing this because it's, you know, it doesn't have a huge stimulus to the largest glutes. It's mostly a short position movement. It mostly challenges the short position, and it mostly challenges your glute med and your glute min. Let's say the abduction part, the pushing the knees out. And for the adduction, again, it's still a short position exercise. Totally. It's still a short position exercise. So it doesn't have this crazy robust stimulus. What I mean by that is if you were only doing three or four leg exercises per day, let's say three, you wouldn't do this. You know, if you were looking to maximize hypertrophy in like 45 minutes, the adduction-abduction machine, it's not going to be a staple. It might be in your program, and I have a group program where we try and train in about 45 minutes. We do this machine, but it's always at the end of the workout. It's not like this big, it's not like your leg presses and your squats and your hack squats and your RDLs and your glute bridges and your lunges. It's going to come after that stuff. You know, maybe not, you know, depending on how you order your exercises and why, maybe it comes sooner. But as far as the priority of the day, it's never like, oh, this is the abduction day. So those are the downsides. The upside is it's a super stable machine, meaning like there's no technique demands, your core doesn't have to do anything, your cardiovascular system doesn't have to do anything. And the abduction movement and the adduction movement are really unique, meaning like you can train adduction, you can train abduction with cables, you can, but you can't train them with cables bilaterally, like both legs at the same time. And anybody who's ever done standing cable abduction where you kick your leg out to the side or standing cable adduction where you pull your leg in, I'm not going to lie to you, it's kind of a pain in the ass sometimes. This machine makes it really turnkey. You sit down, you fucking put the weight in, and you kick your knees apart, and you're good to go. Or you pull your legs in, and you're good to go. I would even say, on top of that, for the adductor, it works in particular, you know, it works a lot of your adductors, but a muscle called your pectineus, which doesn't really get trained any other way. I mean, think about, unless you're doing like Cossack squats or, you know, even sumo squats are going to work a little bit more adductor magnus, like some of those big boys. So it scores pretty high in terms of uniqueness, right? It's, if you want to train the muscles that this trains, this is probably your best way to do it. Your most comfortable way, your most stable way, the easiest way to teach it. And so I'm going to put it in the C category right now because it does what it does really well, but it probably isn't in the top tier most important movements that you'll have in your leg day. So I'm thinking on the B, it's in a, for uniqueness, it scores in the A or the B. For like amount of stimulus and how important it'll be in building an efficient hypertrophy program, it's more on that like CD. And so I'm going to put it in the C category and we'll see how I feel as things start to pan out. Next is the Cybex squat press. And again, if you're not looking at this on YouTube, it's going to be tough to, and you don't know what the Cybex squat press is. I'll try and articulate it, but it's a leg press. Some gyms have it and it has a little bit of an arcing motion. It does not move linearly on a track like the 45 degree leg press. And also the foot pad, it pivots a little bit. So as you go lower, the pad pivots, which makes it easier to keep your heels down. The deeper you go, it makes it easier to keep your heels down. The Cybex squat press, if there was an S tier, if I was doing like an S tier, it would probably make S tier. It's that good. It is the best leg press that exists on the market, period. If your gym has a Cybex squat press, get in there. It is so damn comfortable for glutes, for quads, for adductors. Basically, you can repeat everything I said for that 45 degree leg press, and you can copy and paste it for this, and you can underline it and underscore it and bold it. And so I'm putting it in the A tier. And if we, you know, I'm not gonna rank these within tiers, but if we were ranking this within tiers, this would rank above the 45 degree leg press. Next is the GHD, the glute ham developer. If you've ever done CrossFit, the glute ham developer is all you, my friend. For hypertrophy, it's pretty dog shit. The best thing that the GHD is used for, if you're interested in aesthetics, is actually training abs. I think GHD crunches and GHD sit-ups are the best thing you can do with the GHD. The GHD is the 45 degree hip extension, but has a worse resistance challenge. So the GHD is essentially a 90 degree hip extension, meaning the top of the movement where you are in full hip extension, where your body is straight and your hips are fully extended, your glutes are fully contracted. That's the hardest part. And basically at no other point in the movement is this challenging. You're not challenging anything even close to a lengthened position. And the truth is, most people get a lot of lower back with this movement. Because if you were trying to tell me that it's a very comfortable short position glute exercise, you know, we're going to talk about another very comfortable short position glute exercise in a minute that ranks pretty high. This one just usually feels pretty terrible. You know, if you're like, hey, I want to challenge my glutes in the short position, I would pick something else, frankly. And I don't think this has any place in a hypertrophy program for the most part. Like, it, you know, there are people in my program. Shameless plug, we're doing 45 degree hip extensions in my group program right now. And some people won't have it. And they'll send me a picture of the GHD and they'll say, can I use this? And the answer is absolutely. You can absolutely use this. And it does something similar. But I will tell them, if your goal was like optimizing hypertrophy, I would just do glute bridges. I would swap it out for a glute bridge. A glute bridge is just going to be a more stable, better output glute position working the short position, or glute exercise that works the short position. So this is going to be our first F tier exercise. It's not like, again, remember, F tier is not something that is bad insofar as like it will do nothing for you. It's just bad. It's so bad that you almost certainly have multiple better options for whatever this does, right? Now, if we were just ranking this on doing, you know, GHD crunches or GHD sit-ups, it might rank in the B or the C tier for that one exercise. But, you know, I'm imagining like a gym owner. If I was a gym owner, I would never buy this machine ever. There'd be it's like if I'm programming for a client, I'm not programming this. If I was buying this machine, I'd never buy this. You know, you can buy a $15 app mat off Amazon and get really good length and position crunches. You don't need a thousands of dollars GHD. So this is our first F tier exercise. Next is the hack squat. I'll tell you now, we're just going to spoiler. Hack squat is an A tier exercise. It's in the A tier. It challenges the quads in a lengthened position. It has usually has a really low foot plate, so you can use a low enough foot position to really challenge the quads. It's super stable. It has really nice anchor in terms of the pads on your shoulder, which are directly opposing the direction you're pushing. It's easy to get in and out of. It's a very stable lengthened position quad exercise. So it has no technique demands. It's very easy to use. It is highly stable. It works the lengthened position. You can reverse band it if you want to change the resistance profile. I mean, if your goal is I want to build quads, hack squat is your bread and butter, man. Hack squat. I mean, there are a couple other things on this list that we'll talk about as far as machines that are good for the quads, but hack squat is top tier, top tier. And it's a shame that companies like Hammer Strength, so if you walk into like an LA Fitness, I'm thinking of like LA Fitness or Gold's, they usually purchase an entire line from a company. So it's like, oh, Life Fitness, we're going to buy your whole line, because when we buy the whole line of machines, we get a discount. So you have usually have a section of your gym that's like all Life Fitness, and a section of your gym that has all those fucking weird hoist machines, and a section of your gym that has all the hammer strength machines. The sad thing is those lines tend to not come with a hack squat. What they tend to come with is that 45 or that linear hack squat that we talked about, the hammer strength linear hack squat. Hoist also makes one of these. And if you just swapped out that linear seated hack squat for a regular hack squat, I mean, it would be, it's just so much better. It's so frustrating. Every time I walk into a gym that has a linear hack squat, but not a hack squat, a part of my soul dies a little bit. It's like, who in this company actually lifts weights? There was a decision made at some point to keep this linear seated hack squat in and not make a standing regular hack squat. And so that's always mega painful for me, but the hack squat challenges the length of position, really mega stable, easy technique to learn, just an unbelievable, unbelievable quad builder. Next, we have a hip thrust machine. Now, I've chosen a hip thrust machine, a specific one, for a reason that we'll talk about, but you could, if you're listening to this on audio, you can imagine any hip thrust machine that it's, you know, the hip thruster, the booty builder, you know, I don't even know what brand makes this one. Hoist makes one. But the one I'm looking at now is one that has a really long lever arm. It is one that only has the weight on one side, and that the lever arm where you put the weight on is really long. It's like almost by your feet. Now, why do I like this one? I like this one because if you're a physics nerd, this one has a really long lever arm or a really long moment arm. And so when you put weight on the end of the machine, where obviously where the pin is, where you put the weight on, a little bit of weight goes a long way. So if you have a hip thruster, and I don't want to get too deep into the physics here, but if you have like a regular hip thruster, the classic thruster machine, the weight is directly in line with your hips, and you're going to be able to do a lot more weight. But I would rephrase that as you have to put on a lot more weight. That's so annoying. That's so annoying that you have to load on, you know, 8 45-pound plates, whereas this machine is probably 2 or 3 times heavier per pound because of the physics, because of the longer moment arm. So you might be able to do, I'm making this up, by the way, I don't know, 200 pounds on a regular hip thruster. But maybe on this machine, you can only do 45 pounds. And that means you don't have to load on as many plates. I have clients who have really strong glutes who are like, I put a 45-pound plate on this and it's really hard. And that saves you from loading on a whole bunch of plates. And so I find this to be really convenient, really nice. Now, as far as the hip thruster machine in general, I kind of touched on this in the intro. Challenging muscles in shorter positions is less good than challenging them in lengthened positions. So the hip thrust or the glute bridge in general is going to rank a little bit lower than exercises like lunges and squats and RDLs and leg presses that challenge the glutes in a more lengthened position. However, the hip thrust and the glute bridge isolate the glutes. They are basically the only muscle in that position because of your bent knees that is going to extend the hips. So it is a bit, like if you're like, hey, what does the leg press work? It works your glutes and your quads. What does a lunge work? It works your glutes and your quads. What does an RDL work? It works your glutes and your hamstrings. What does the glute bridge work? Your glutes. What does the hip thrust work? Your glutes. So when you take the glute bridge to failure, you know that it was the glutes that caused you to fail. And so the glute bridge, you know, has a very unique benefit of being very glute isolated. And so it's going to rank pretty freaking high. And this machine in particular is going to rank pretty high because of how easy it is. You don't have to load on as many plates. I'm telling you now, I'm torn between the A and the B tier. I'm going to put it in the B tier just for that short position knock. But when I look back at this later, it might go in the A tier. Right now, our B tier is the 45 degree hip extension and the glute bridge machine. I feel like if I put the 45 degree hip extension in the B tier, this has also got to go in the B tier because if you have a really great 45-degree hip extension, I think it's just as good as a really great glute bridge machine. And so for right now, they're both in the B tier, which I think, again, is A and B tier are going to be amazing, amazing for hypertrophy. The next is the belt squat. Ah, crap. This is going to be tough. Let me take a quick sip of water before we get into the belt squat. I got to get through these a little quicker. We're like 25 minutes in, and we have like 15 more exercises to go. The belt squat's a tricky one. So a belt squat or pit shark or whatever, not a lot of gyms have this, but some do. Basically, you wear a belt and you attach the belt with a chain downward through the floor to a lever and you attach the weight out in front of you a little bit. And so there's no weight on your back. The weight is all around the belt, around your waist. And so if you were trying to reduce what we call axial loading, which is a loading of the spine, the belt squat's really great. By the way, axial loading is not bad. Loading the spine is not bad. Frankly, it's a good thing. And you're still loading something. It's not like you can escape the stress of you know, squatting 300 pounds. It's just moving the stress somewhere else. My relationship with the belt squat is tricky. I've gone through periods where I really love it, and I've gone through periods where I just think it's brutal. I think it's okay. I think if you have a leg press or a hack squat or a pendulum or a hip press, those are going to rank higher. And so it's tough for me to put this in the A tier. It's almost tough for me to put this in the B tier because I feel like it seems like a good idea, but once you get in it and you start to load it really heavy, it gets less and less comfortable. Like the first time you use a belt squat, everybody's going to have the same reaction. They're like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, right? Because one of the features of the belt squat is you can actually also hold on because you don't need to hold on to the bar on your back. You don't need to hold on to the machine at all. Like you don't have to hold on to anything that's moving. So you can actually hold on. They have bars out in front of you. You can imagine that you're squatting and the weight's around your waist hanging downward and you can actually hold the machine in front of you. So you can do something like what's called a Hatfield squat where you can hold on. Now for that reason, I think it's pretty nice because there's a very low stability component, but it's just factually, categorically worse than a leg press in every way. So I'm torn between the B tier and the C tier. Personally, I want to put it in the C tier. That's how I feel about it. Even if my gym had one, I'd be rarely using it. The truth is you can also use it for RDLs if you want, but I don't see it a great advantage to that, frankly. It's the same, just a tiny variation. I want to put it, I'm looking at the glute bridge machine and the hip extension, and I think that they're just better. I know some people, this is the first one, I think, where some people will have a real contentious opinion and they'll want to put it higher. I'm putting it in the C tier. It's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. It's something I would use in my program more for variation than like a bread and butter. Like if I've been hammering leg presses and hack squats and I just need a mental or physical break from those for a few cycles, I would do a belt squat. But I can't imagine that I'm like on a 10-year progression with the belt squat. Yeah, that's how I feel. Let's see how I feel when I come back to it. The next machine is the leg extension. So what are the upsides of the leg extension? The upside of the leg extension, it is the single only machine in the gym that trains knee extension in isolation. So you train knee extension when you do leg presses, when you do squats, when you do hack squats, but you're also training knee flexion. You're bending at the hip and the knee at the same time. That's what a squat is. But the leg extension is just movement at the knee. You're just extending the knee. You're just training that function of the quads, which again is the function of the quads minus the rec fem, which also extends the hips. And there is no other alternative. Right? If you don't own a leg extension, you can do some other things to challenge knee flexion and extension by itself. You can do things like sissy squats or reverse Nordics, or you can kind of rig up a single leg cable leg extension with an ankle strap, or you can do kind of like a bent knee banded leg extension. But they are all notably worse than the leg extension. They're still worth doing, by the way. Absolutely still worth doing. If you're training at home, you don't have a leg extension, you should be doing one of those other things. Here and there at least, but there's no real like-for-like replacement for the leg extension. It's that good. Now, the downside of the leg extension, if you wanted to make one, is that it challenges the quads for the most part, unless you can adjust the resistance challenge in the short position. So it's not really challenging the quads in a very lengthened position. However, because it is the only machine that challenges knee extension, and I think that makes it mega unique, it's frankly, leg, you cannot swap out. If you have a leg extension, it's going to be in your program, every program, forever. I don't think I've ever programmed my gym program without a leg extension because it's unique. You can't swap it out for something similar. You could, but it would be enough of a step down where I probably would just not do it at all. Again, if you're in the gym, if you're not in the gym, you should do sissy squats or reverse Nordics or cable leg extension or banded leg extension. You should be doing that stuff. But damn, man, leg extension, top tier. It's in the A tier, not even close. Absolutely in the A tier. It's going to be in your program either more often than not or forever. The next is the vertical leg press. So the vertical leg press, if you're not looking on YouTube, basically you're laying down on your back. The track of the leg press is directly vertical. So you are laying horizontally on the ground. The track is 90 degrees upward. You're pushing upward. It's basically that 45-degree leg press that we talked about, the first exercise, but flipped into a 90 degree. So you are laying flat on your back, pushing directly upward. The vertical leg press is an F-tier exercise, F-tier. Why is it an F-tier exercise? I'll try and articulate it here. Because you're laying down on your back and your feet are directly up in the air, you are beginning the movement in 90 degrees of hip flexion. That I want you to imagine you're sitting on the floor with your legs straight out in front of you. You are beginning the movement sitting directly upright. Right? So I want you to think of you sitting on the ground with your legs directly out in front of you, and you're sitting directly upright. I'll tell you right now, most men over 30 can't even get into that position, period. That's before you even begin the movement and you go into more hip flexion. So this machine starts you in too much hip flexion, such that you aren't getting a lot of range of motion, and 99.9% of the people who get into this machine are going to round their back the minute they start bending their knees and bringing the platform down. Now, on top of that, if you know there is not a gym in the entire world that owns this machine but doesn't have a 45-degree leg press. The 45-degree leg press is stock standard gym equipment. This is fancy schmancy gym equipment that your gym has if it's trying to be fancy schmancy. So if your gym has a 45-degree leg press and this leg press, you will never use this leg press. I will never program it for you, period. There isn't a gym in the country that only has this and nothing else. But if there was, you might use it and you would accept that it has distinct downsides. But I'd still lean more heavily on squats and split squats and lunges and, you know, other things that we'll kind of go through. I'm looking at some of the other exercises that are coming up. It's hard to say I would ever use this machine. It's pretty close to I would never use it. So that is our second F tier. We have the GHD and we have the vertical leg press. Next up, we have the V squat. And the V squat, I have two pictures here. There's one V squat, if you're not looking, one V squat that has rounded, it's more of an on an angle, and it has rounded shoulder pads, and those shoulder pads allow you to poke your head through comfortably, right? So if you're watching on YouTube, we're looking at this machine right here, and it allows you to poke your head through. Now, the V squat, if you use the V squat, either V squat, because there's two, and we're going to go through a second one in, you know, two or three more, maybe I'll just do it next. If you use the V-squat facing out, so your back is against the back pad, this is a D-tier exercise at best. It's D-tier. It's so bad. Again, biomechanically, it makes no sense. First, it puts you into knee flexion. Then it pulls you down into hip flexion. And then when you're in the bottom position, the angle that you would want to push to get yourself out, the foot plate is angled opposite to that. So it's hard to go through that entirely. Just articulating that verbally. But if you're using the V squat facing out, it's a D tier exercise either way, both of them D tier, maybe even F tier. It's just awful. You have way better options. You'll always have way better options. And biomechanically, I got to tell you, it makes no freaking sense whatsoever. Now, if you face into the pad, so you have the shoulder pads and your head is poked through and you're facing into the machine, your butt is facing out into the gym, you can do things like squats, and good mornings, which are just like RDLs. And you can even do like step downs, right? Where you step down off the platform and back into like a lunge or a step down, whatever, step up. It's very similar. And actually, I think it can be a really like B or even A tier movement. So there's two V squats. One of them you can poke your head through and keep a neutral head position. We're going to talk about that one. 50% of the way you would use it facing out is a D or F tier. The other 50%, RDLs, glute dominant squats, step downs, good mornings, right, is an A or B tier. So I kind of want to put it in the C tier. And I think that's where it's going to go. I'm going to put it in the C tier because if you ask me, again, if I'm building a home gym or I'm building a gym, do I want, look, if we look at the B tier, 45 degree hip extension and a glute bridge machine, or do I want this thing? I think I want the glute bridge machine and the hip extension more, but could they go in the same tier? Because this is those the good part of the V squat really works the length and position well. I'm gonna put this one in the B tier for now because I think a lot, you know, if you're looking to grow glutes and hams, and you use this inverted, you know, reverse V squat RDL. Do I like it better than the belt squat? I do. I'm going to put it in the B tier. I'm going to skip ahead to the other V squat, which is shamefully the one that is made, again, by Hammer Strength. And you will find it more commonly in your gym. Again, it has shoulder pads, all that stuff. But you cannot face in and keep a neutral head position because there's no way for you to poke your head through because the backrest is there. I'm putting this in the F tier. It's just hot, steaming pile of garbage. As close to would not use as possible. The next is a reverse hyperextension machine. So the reverse hyperextension, biomechanically, is the same thing as a GHD, but reverse. So with a GHD, your hips down are fixed in the machine, and your hips up are moving about the axis of rotation around the hip. And you are moving from hip flexion to hip extension, and you are basically only challenging the short position at the top. The reverse hyper is the same exact thing I just said. It's a hip extension machine, and you are only challenging basically the muscles at the top, except you're moving from the hips down. So it's the same thing, essentially, just instead of hip extending, your lower body is moving to create the extension. It's a machine that is really popular with like old school West Side powerlifting. And again, even all of the machines that go in the F tier, they will work with enough progressive overload, enough intensity, enough sets. They will work. They will cause, you know, get you a stimulus, cause an adaptation. Absolutely. If I was building a gym, I would never, ever, ever, ever waste money and space on this thing. If I was building a home gym, I would never do it. If your gym has one, I'll probably never program it for you. We had one of these in my gym when I was growing up. You know, for the most part, we used it to put our water bottles on. Again, if you want a posterior chain exercise, and the reason I say posterior chain, because it doesn't work any single muscle well. You're going to get a little hamstring, you're going to get a little glute, you're going to get a lot of lower back. And, you know, from a hypertrophy standpoint, we kind of need to be able to identify a muscle that has worked really well. That's the point of hypertrophy, is to bring a target muscle close to failure. If you can tell me which muscle is going to fail doing a reverse hyperextension, first of all, it's probably your lower back. There's just so much momentum with this exercise. I'm sorry, there's going to be people who are like diehard West Side fans who just think this is an A tier movement. It's mostly a place for you to hold your water or for you like to sit on in between sets. It takes up a ton of space. It's mega expensive. And you almost, for hypertrophy, you certainly have better alternatives. The next is going to be a glute kickback machine. And it's a standing glute kickback because I was Googling glute kickback machines. And there are some that are on different angles, some that are better than others. But this is the one I see most commonly in gyms. Basically, you're standing up and there are handles out in front of you, almost like you're on the elliptical and there's a chest pad. And then you put your foot almost like, almost like a bicycle pad. And you kick your foot back along a completely horizontal track. And what does this machine do well? Well, it's pretty stable. And when you compare it to the alternatives, which are like cable glute kickbacks, it's more stable, right? It is a glute kickback. The downside of a glute kickback is stability. A lot of people are like, oh, my standing leg works more whenever I do glute kickbacks. Yeah, because your standing leg quite often has to do a lot of the stabilizing. With this machine, it doesn't. So you really get to isolate that movement. But it still kind of sucks. This machine still kind of sucks. I always feel like it, in order to actually lengthen the glute, because this machine is on a straight path and not on an arcing motion, you end up working a lot of quads in the length of position. Like to initiate the kickback, you get a lot of quads. And that's, again, by the way, not bad, you know, whatever, man. Like, we're trying to build good legs. Like, we want to get quads too. I just don't feel like it does anything really, really well. It's not egregiously bad. I don't know if I can put this in the F tier. I don't think I can. It's okay. I think glute kickbacks with more stability. So if you work on your stability, maybe you're holding on to the machine. You've looked at some of the N1 people who are like holding on to like a wooden stick for more stability. I think those are probably better because you can change, because the cable somewhat changes where the resistance is coming from throughout the movement. I think it ends up being more glute dominant. But I can't put this in the F tier, but I can't put it with the abduction machine or the belt squat. So it's got to be a D tier. Next, we have the Booty Builder Standing Hip Thrust. So Booty Builder, I don't know who made this company, but they've come out with like a lot of glute-oriented machines. They have a hip thrust machine. They have a selectorized, meaning a pin-loaded 45-degree hip extension, which I absolutely love. I even emailed them to see if I could buy it for my home. It's too expensive. But having a pin, we talked about the hip extension, right? The 45-degree hip extension. The downside is that it's not elevated from the floor and the pad doesn't go low enough. The Booty Builder one has both of those solved and it is pin loaded. It means you don't even have to drag over heavy dumbbells. You don't have to load up a barbell. You just put the pin in and you grab the handle. It's basically cable loaded. It's amazing. Big, big fan. The standing hip thrust is basically just a hot steaming pile of garbage. It is meant to be a squat and a hip thrust. The problem is, it's a really bad hip thrust and a really bad squat. Combining two things doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. If you want to challenge the glutes in the lengthened position, do leg presses, do squats, do lunges, do step-ups, do hip presses, you know, do RDLs. Don't also try and do a hip thrust at the same time. So it's a bad squat. If you want to challenge the glutes in the short position, do something else. Or in the lengthened position, do something else. And it's a bad hip thrust because you're limited by how much weight you can use and still hold on to the machine. So if you've ever seen this machine, at the top of the movement, you have to hold on to the machine. So if you have, you know, if you're really strong and you have 300 pounds on the machine, you have to fight those 300 pounds with your arms, right? Instead of just letting gravity do it when you are horizontal, right? And the force is coming from, you know, vertically. So it's a really bad, if you want to do a hip thrust or a glute bridge, this is a terrible option. If you want to do squat, it's a terrible option. It looks cool and it looks like, you know, it's one of those things that like Kim Kardashian could have made. It's just really not great. It's also going in our F tier. If your gym has this, I would never use it. I would almost never use it. If you're going to use it, you have to tell me you're using it for fun. There's no like real, you have to use it for fun or, you know, for variation to change it up. Like, okay, that's what you'd be using this for, not for like some scientifically backed reason that it's good for hypertrophy. It's not. The next is the seated calf raise. So the seated calf raise, quick anatomy lesson. You have two calf muscles. You have your gastroc and you have your soleus. Your gastroc crosses the knee and the ankle. Your soleus just crosses the ankle. Long story short, I don't recommend people waste a lot of time doing calves. Like, I think people should have some calves in their program at some point. I think it's good for ankle mobility, overall health, functional, whatever. And if you're good at not train something often or frequently or with a lot of volume, then you should do the exercise that has the most robust stimulus. And a seated calf raise doesn't lengthen the gastroc enough. It actually shortens the gastroc. So doing a straight leg or a standing calf raise is much better. If you're not going to train a lot of calves, you need to train them in a lengthened position to get the most out of them. And so, I would go as far as to say, I would personally never program a seated calf raise. I would do a seated calf raise if you're bored of doing standing calf raises and you need some variation. Because even if you don't have a standing calf raise machine, which is a machine on this list, it's the last one. Maybe we'll do it right now as a comparison. If you have a standing calf raise machine, use it. But even if you don't, you can do standing calf raises on any step or stair in the Smith machine. You can do them in the leg press with a straight leg. There's just no real defensible reason to use the seated calf raise other than you're bored of the other options, you need a break from the other options, or you're really trying to grow your soleus because you're a bodybuilder and you know that that's what the judges want or something. Like, unless you're doing a lot of calf training, I don't think you can defensively say that the seated calf raise is something that you're going to intentionally program quite often. So it's either in the D or the F category. I'm looking at the other things in the F category. They bother me more than the seated calf raise, mostly because like I can't be too bothered with calves. Like, I just don't care enough about calves to even get angry enough about the seated calf raise. So I'm putting the seated calf raise in the D category because I can't really be bothered with worrying about calves, frankly. Like, if you just like, hey, Jordan, I've been doing standing calf raises. I'm going to do the seated machine for a while because I feel like it. Awesome. It's really stable. You can work really, really deep into failure. That's fine with me. The standing calf raise is going to get a C tier because as far as calf raises go, it's the best option you have. And so because if you want to grow, like the leg extension, like if you want to train, if you want to isolate the quads and just train the quads, nothing else, the leg extension is your best top tier option. For the same reason, you could put the calf raise in the A tier because for calves, it is the most important, or it's the best way to train calves. But like, I just literally can't be bothered with too much calf training. I can't put calf training even higher than a C from a, just like a level of importance. But if you really cared about calves, you know, and you really highly valued this being the best option to do a thing, it would be in the B or the C tier. It could reasonably be in the B tier, depending on how much you value calf training. I'm torn. I kind of want to put it in the B tier now because I don't want to, I do value having some calf training. I'm going to leave it in the C tier for now. The next is the seated ham curl. We also have a lying ham curl. So we'll talk about those two kind of next to each other and I'll do them back to back here. So that's funny that we're doing this now because this is the same exact argument as the calf raises. So parts of your hamstring, some of the parts, most of the parts of your hamstring, they cross over at the hip and the knee. So your hip position affects the length of the hamstring. When you are in a hip flexed position, or let's say a seated position, your hamstrings are pre-stretched. So when you do the seated hamstring curl, you're training the hamstrings in a more lengthened position. When you do the lying hamstring curl, because you're in more hip extension, you train the hamstrings in a shorter position. And again, if we want to grow muscles the best, we want to train them in a more lengthened position. So head to head, the seated hamstring curl builds more muscle. If you're in a gym and you only could buy one option for your gym or your home gym, you'd buy the seated hamstring curl because it will grow more muscle on a per set basis than the lying hamstring curl. So wherever we rank these two machines, the seated will rank higher for hypertrophy. So if we put the seated in the A tier, the lying hamstring curl will be below that. Both of these isolate knee flexion. They both isolate the bending of the knee. And they, a lot of people think of hamstring training, they think of things like RDLs, 45 degree hip extensions. And they do, those absolutely train the hamstrings, but they train the hip extension function of the hamstrings. The hamstrings also bend the knee. So you need to train both. And whereas the leg extension is elite at what it does, the seated hamstring curl is elite at what it does. And I'd say any good program is going to have some leg curl, hamstring curl machine in it at all times. And because it is an indispensable part of your program, one of these is going to go in the A tier because every good program is going to have some sort of hamstring curl option. Now, if you're training at home, you might do something like Nordic ham curls. You might do something like a band setup, absolutely, or a cable setup if you have it, absolutely. You might have those monkey feet. I'm not a big fan of putting the dumbbell between your feet. I think it just massively limits how much load you can use. You might sometimes not have a hamstring curl and just opt for a just higher quality movement. But if you're in my home program, we have some form of a leg curl movement in at least half of our programs. If you're in our gym program, you have a hamstring curl in every single program. It's that important. And if you have a machine, it's that good of a movement. So the seated hamstring curl, because it is better, because it does a thing that's quite unique, which is training knee flexion, it's going to go in the A tier. The lying hamstring curl, because it's just a little bit less good than the seated ham curl, but it does something really important. It's really stable. It helps you isolate the hamstrings. It also works your calves a little bit. It's going to go in the B tier. It's going to go in the B tier. I have some thoughts about adjusting this as we go. So we have five more movements. We're at the 50-minute mark. Let's see if we can get these done in the next 10 minutes. The next exercise is the hip press. Now, 99% of you will have no idea what this machine is. You will not have seen it. But I hope it's starting to become a little bit more frequent in modern gyms that are built by people who have lifted weights before. So the hip press, and we're going to go over something called a pendulum squat in a minute. It is a leg press designed specifically for the glutes and the hips because it works on an arcing motion. And we're not going to go through all the physics here, but as you bring your legs closer to you, as you bring the pad closer to you, the machine arcs upwards. And so it primarily pulls you into more hip flexion. So it primarily pulls you into more glute lengthening. So it takes care of some of the glute biasing for you. Just getting into this machine and doing it without any knowledge of how to optimize it, you're going to work more glutes. Because it works on an arcing motion, as you move into a more lengthened position, it pulls your knees up higher into your chest. It pulls you into more hip flexion primarily, which is going to lengthen the glutes more. As far as glute exercises that challenge a lengthened position and are highly stable, it's the best of the best. So the hip press goes in our A tier. It's better for training the glutes than a regular 45-degree leg press. The reason that the leg press is still in the A tier is because it's more versatile. So if I had to just buy one of these, I would buy the 45-degree leg press because I could work a little bit more of the quads a little bit better. The hip press, you can do a quad-biased hip press, but it will be, it's like cutting your steak with the side of a fork. It's like, well, you can do it, but you probably have a better tool for that. So the hip press is in the A tier because it does one thing, training the glutes in the lengthened position, in the absolute, potentially the best way of any other exercise that exists. So it's not versatile. It takes up a ton of space. It's very expensive. But it does one thing that a lot of people care about, maybe better than any other machine. The next is a selectorized or machine leg press. So this is the horizontal leg press, the one with the pin, where you sit down, the foot plate is vertical, and a lot of gyms will have this over by the machines. This machine has two distinct downsides. The first is that it lacks range of motion. For some reason, the safety doesn't let you go low enough. So if you are on the shorter side, hashtag short queens or short kings, you're probably going to miss out on some range of motion, which just pisses me off because it's not a difficult thing to fix when you're building a machine. Just let it go lower. Just let it keep going. You know, don't put a safety in. I know that sounds like it would be scary, but these machines are inherently safe, especially this one, you know, or just put the safety lower or allow somebody to take the safety out if they want to take the safety out. So that bothers me a ton, especially because I work with a lot of females and this machine would be great. It would be even greater for more people if it let you go deeper. The second downside is because of the angle that the seat moves compared to the angle of the foot plate, it kind of sucks for quads. You know, it almost is kind of like that hip press where it allows you, it primarily moves you into more hip flexion, which is good for training the glutes. So what I'll say is, if it fits you well, it's pretty good for training the glutes. Another downside, it lacks loading. It probably only goes up to like 300 pounds max. And that sounds like a lot, but 300 pounds is like three plates on a leg press. A lot of you will get up to that at some point. And so the fact that it limits the overall loading, that's another downside. My favorite thing to use this for is single leg presses for glutes. That exercise I think is top tier. I think it's an amazing glute exercise. Single leg press in the selectorized or machine leg press for glutes, really great. But just kind of sucks for everything else. You know, it really does lack range of motion. You should be able to go deeper. If you could go deeper, it would be in the B tier. If you could go deeper, I'd say, you know what? It goes in the B tier. You know, it's not great for quads, but it's a solid glute exercise, but I'm putting it in the C tier because of that lacking of range of motion. That just pisses me off. The next is an interesting one. It's the Smith machine. Now, the Smith machine is not technically a leg machine. It's just a stable barbell that moves along a track. However, you can do a lot of leg movements here. You can do lunges, you can do split squats, and you could do RDLs if you want. You could do squats, you could do hack squats, you can do glute bridges and hip thrusts. I would say the best use of the Smith machine for legs is lunges, split squats, and glute bridges, hip thrusts. I think lunges and split squats and glute bridges in the Smith are amazing, like A-tier exercises, A-tier. If you've never done your reverse lunges in the Smith, that extra stability is like, it's heavenly. If you've never done Bulgarian split squats with the Smith machine, it's heavenly. You don't have to hold on to the weights in your hand, so grip strength is not an issue. The machine moves on a track, so you don't necessarily have to worry so much about your technique. It's highly stable. You can work closer to failure without balance and coordination being an issue. How many of you guys, when you get close to failure, you feel yourself getting a little wobbly? That's not going to happen here. So for lunges and split squats, just an amazing, amazing machine. For glute bridges, unbelievable. Super stable, you know, easier to load up than a barbell because the bars are not resting on the ground. It's easier to get, or the plates aren't resting on the ground. It's easier to get into and out of because you just kind of push it up, roll it out, roll the clip out and get going. Really fantastic. If you don't do your lunges and split squats on the Smith, you're missing out. Fantastic. I mean, you can do them with a barbell, you can do them with dumbbells. You can, you know, build, get super jacked. But if you have a Smith machine, you've never tried your glute bridges there, you've never tried your lunges, you've never tried your split squats, you are gonna love it. And for that reason, I'm putting the Smith machine, maybe contentiously, in the B tier. Really, really, really awesome. Next is the pendulum squat. I'll tell you right now, pendulum is in the A tier. So we talked about the hip press. And we said, because it's moving on an arc, the deeper you go, the more quad biased or the more glute biased it becomes because it pulls you into more hip flexion. The pendulum is essentially the opposite, but for quads. The pendulum is moving on an arc. And the deeper you go, the more it drives the weight into your knees, which is a good thing. People hear that, they get scared. That's good for the quads. That's quite literally how you train the quads it's a knee dominant movement. It's highly stable. It is incredible. If you had to say, if your main goal in life was to work quads and you were only able to do one movement for quads, you would do a pendulum squat. So the hip press might be the best single glute exercise for hypertrophy that exists. The pendulum might be the greatest quad exercise that exists. However, both of them lack versatility. A pendulum for glutes, kind of an oxymoron, kind of sucks for that. A hip press for quads, it kind of sucks for that. When you look at the leg press and the hack squat, you could do a glute-biased hack squat. It wouldn't be amazing, but they're a little bit more versatile. And if you had to pick between a hack squat and a pendulum, you might have a preference. Like, I think the pendulum is a tiny bit trickier technique execution. I mean, it's still not challenging because it's like not challenging to learn is what I'm saying because the machine moves on a track. You don't have to stabilize your body in space. You just go down and come back up. But I think the pendulum is a little bit more contentious. Not everyone loves it. I think a hack squat is a good hack squat is a little bit easier to put somebody in and be like, oh, I get it. I get how to use it. But because it does something that people care about, grow the quads, at an elite tier, it's in the A tier. The last machine that we have, we're right on the hour mark. I'm really happy, really proud of us for getting it done in an hour, is the multi-hip. Multi-hip is an old school machine, ironically, that you won't see in most gyms. You might see if your gym is super old school, but it's coming back. It's coming back in vogue. The picture I have here is actually a techno gym multi-hip, which if techno gym is doing it, then, you know, techno gym is like that rich foofy brand that you see in like rich hotels. And so if they're making it, it might be making a comeback. So a multi-hip is essentially, if you're not familiar with it, it is basically a platform and it has two bars that you hold on to, almost like you're at dance class and you have those two bars, you have like the bar to hold on to. And there is a swinging pad and you can put that pad on the outside of your leg. Basically, you're standing up straight with a straight leg. You can either put that pad on the outside of your leg and you can work abduction, meaning kicking your leg up to the side. It's amazing for that. You can also place it on the inside of your leg and you can work adduction, which is pulling your leg into your body, which works the inner thighs. You can also turn 90 degrees, put the pad behind your knee, And you can do a glute kickback essentially, but instead of loading that at the ankle, you're now loading it at the knee, which makes it a lot more comfortable. It's really stable. The machine moves on a track. So you're not, it's not like a cable where you have to kind of figure out where to kick your leg. You just, with the multi-hip, you kick down, right? If you want to do a glute kickback or basically a press down essentially, you don't have to worry about stabilizing your leg in space. You don't have to worry about the leg path. You just fucking hammer that leg down. So if you are interested in training the muscles of the hip, your inner thighs, your hip flexors, your glutes, your abductors, I've almost purchased a multi-hip for my gym at home because I think those hip muscles, in my opinion, are kind of a pain in the ass to train, but a multi-hip would make it a lot easier and a lot more fun to train them, and I'd be more inclined to train them. You can do everything I just said with cables. Some of that you can do with the abduction machine. You can do glute kickbacks. You can obviously do step-ups and lunges and stuff like that for that sort of hip extension-y, you know, lungy, step-up-y sort of thing. But I want to put this in the B tier so badly because I think those, again, for hypertrophy, it's tricky. You know, like how much do those the muscles of the hip, other than the glute max, let's say, how much do they really affect your overall physique change? Not as much as your step-ups, your squats, your RDLs, your leg presses, your hack squats, your leg extensions, your ham curls. Not as much as that. But for those hip musculature, those hip muscles, it's just so darn good. And you'd be more inclined to do that stuff if you had this. I'm looking at the C tier. The C tier has the abduction machine. Is this thing better? The only downside of this thing is it's unilateral. I think it's better than the hip abduction machine just because it's more versatile. You can train hip flexion and extension, and you can get into a more lengthened position in this machine. It is better than the abduction machine. Fact. I'm putting it in the B tier. It's going in the B tier. I'm pretty happy with that choice. I'm going to read through what we have right now. And then we'll go through the things that are on my mind. So the A tier is the 45 degree leg press, the Cybex squat press, the hack squat, the leg extension, the seated ham curl, the hip press, and the pendulum. The B tier is a 45 degree hip extension, the glute bridge machine, the better of the V squat machines, and frankly, only because I think it's really nice for RDLs and squats and step downs. And we'll get to it in a second. What are the ones that I think are, in my opinion, on the hook? The lying ham curl, the Smith machine, and the multi-hip. The C tier is the abduction-adduction machine, the belt squat, the standing calf raise, and the selectorized or machine leg press. The D tier is the linear hack squat. Again, the irony is I own a linear hack squat. It's called a leg sled. It's by PowerTech. Titan makes one. Xmark makes one. And mine has a better foot plate and well, let me get through this. And I'll come back to that. There's like four or five things I would like to touch on before we go. The D tier is the hammer strength linear hack squat. It's the standing glute kickback and the seated calf raise. The F tier is the GHD, the vertical leg press, the worse V squat, the reverse hyperextension, and the standing hip thrust. Now, the things that are on the fence here for me are that in the B tier, the reverse V squat or the V squat, I think that could easily be in the C tier just because the facing out is just such dog shit. And so that one, I'm going to leave it, but that's one that I'm thinking, hey, if you were like, hey, I'm going to put that in the C tier, you would hear no complaints from me. The next is the standing calf raise. I think you could argue it's in the B tier because it trains a muscle better than all the other alternatives, in my opinion. And so if calf training is even remotely important to you, this is a B tier. You could even say it's an A tier. The reason I wouldn't put it in A tier is like you don't need this machine to do this. You could do this in the leg press. You could do this just on a stair. So this is in that B, C tier. If you want to put it B tier, I think totally defensible. In the D tier, we have that linear hack squat. And as I was just saying, I own a linear hack squat in my home gym. It's called a leg sled. The reason I love mine is because there is no safety. I can take the safety out. So I can descend all the way to the deepest depths of range of motion. Additionally, my foot plate is bigger. I can adjust the angle that it's on, and it goes all the way to the floor. So I can rest a pair of wedges on there. And if you've ever watched me do that, I can get crazy knee flexion. they're almost not even the same machine. The seated linear hack squat that you see in your gym, the hammer strength one, it's dog shit for 99% of people. Ironically, if they just bought a cheaper one from like Xmark or PowerTech, whatever, it's, I think, a great machine, probably a B tier machine, maybe even an A tier machine, probably a B tier machine. And then any other contentious ones? No, I really would stand by the rest of these. And I think it's an interesting discussion here. I really liked doing this. And if you watch on YouTube, it's probably more fun. I think ranking stuff is fun because it forces you to parse out what might be important and talk through contexts. Because if you just think challenging a lengthened position is good, this order would be a lot different. If you think challenging a short position is bad, you would rank these very differently. But in the context of overall programming, I think we have to take into account more than just, you know, how lengthened is a muscle. You know, there are other pros and cons, like how well does this machine do what it does compared to the alternatives? And are you probably going to want to do that somewhere in your program? Okay, great. That is a more highly ranked machine. So cool. Hope you thought this was fun. If you feel like, what I'll do is I'll also link in the description a picture of the tiers, or it gives you a printout kind of picture. I'll put that there. If you want to click it and you want to look at it, maybe as you're listening to this, or just at the end, now that you're like, hey, let me see the final outcome. I will put a link to a download so you can download like a JPEG or something of this image. I think it's pretty cool. And if you want to tell me what you would change, reach out to me. We'll talk about it. That would be super fun. I'm thinking of bringing on a guest, and maybe not doing this one, of course, but doing maybe one for upper body machines. And just having fun, having somebody else here to provide maybe some additional context or challenge me in some way, you know? So cool. This was super fun. I'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.